We're back. Whistle FM 102.9. I'm Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. I have Sue on my program, as you know. Once again, Sue's probably been on here at least, somewhere between half a dozen and a dozen times, I would guess, over the last couple of years. We've been on here now for well over 2 years, I believe. So time's a-flying. We're on the last day of inventory, and folks, we go through what we call the steps or the phases, and there's 12 of them, and there's 12 months in the year, so we work on the one that corresponds with the month. So fourth month talks about taking an inventory, and fourth month is April. So in our life recovery devotionals, we have a step at the top of every page. In other words, step 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 12, and that step tells us what month we're in. So if we're on step 4, we're in the fourth month, and vice versa. And then a little further down the page, it says day 1 to 30. Actually, it doesn't go to 31. So we have 30 commentaries with scriptural backup for each step or for each month. And that's how we work the program wherever it's taking place. And by the way, we're opening another Sharing the Burden shop, if you will, or sharing meeting in Kemptville, Ontario, next Tuesday. So we'll be on the air, but I don't know if it'll be a repeat or someone else will sit in for me, but we'll take care of it. But so next week we're starting a meeting in Kemptville. And by the way, after this meeting, I will be, and may have people joining me, I'm not sure, but going to the Hummingbird Hub, which is right around the corner from here on Main Street, where we'll just be available to talk about sharing the burden, about the show that we've just completed at that time. That'll be about 11:30. So anybody who feels like getting together, talking about putting a meeting of this kind in Stouffville, would be a great idea. Please do so. So Hummingbird Hub, look it up online. I think the address is 6331, if I'm not mistaken.
But, I think it is, yes.
You know, folks, if you get near the furniture store with the 102.9 FM radio station behind it, you're basically there. So don't go more than 100 yards in either direction and you'll find us. So Hummingbird Hub for a half hour or so after the show. So Sue, we're back, and I can't help thinking about the jail meeting we had last night. And it was kind of precursor to the show because Sue bailed me out, actually. She'd no sooner picked up her car at my place and drove home, and I was trying to get her on the phone and say, well, Sue, somebody just canceled on me. Do you want to finish our conversation on the air tomorrow morning, sort of thing? And so we're here doing that. And thank you for doing that, Sue. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
It's not always easy to fill the holes in these little things we take on in life without realizing what it's all about. So in jail last night, folks, we had 10 men out in one of our local jails. When I say local, I mean basically GTA area, so could be anywhere, and it doesn't matter where they are. But anyway, this 10 men, and maybe even 11. It looks like one might have not listed himself, but I'm sure the guards figured that out by the time the meeting was over. But we were talking about inventory. We were talking about feelings again versus decisions. And one of the persons there was not arguing, but discussing. Like, you could see he wanted badly to know a God, or to know that there was something. And he just couldn't seem to, in his mind, get a sense. And I think it was a feeling he was looking for. He couldn't get a feeling that there was something out there that he could kind of latch on to, or at least hope was real, and maybe start some sort of spiritual relationship with that entity. And he was really struggling with it. And I could tell that he was looking for some kind of feeling, or some sort of magical experience that would, give him something to grasp onto. And I think I understand that, and I think everybody goes through that. And you had told him, Sue, two or three times that, you got to want it, you got to go after it, you got to seek it, but, know there's purpose in your life. Know that, the Creator, whatever you believe that to be, put this all together, and, there's purpose in every life. And And of course, we're talking about, you know, 10 or 11 men in orange in a little tiny room with you and I, and you know, trying to tell them that to ignore their feelings when there's a lot of feelings in that room is a pretty tough thing for them to do. But it is amazing, isn't it, how many really want that spirituality in there? I mean, they're down and out. They spend so much time in these kinds of places, and so many are really, really, really ready, you know. And we hope and pray that as they become, well, not become citizens, but get back out into society, that they'll be able to maintain that want and keep going after it, and not just fall back into their old ways, you know, which has gone on for so long. So I don't know, but I found it fascinating that so many people rely totally on feelings, and boy, do they miss the boat, you know. Any thoughts on the guys that were there last night? You know, there was a couple of standouts, so I don't know what you got out of it, Sue. But
I always think they don't know that they are created with special gifts, right? Mm. Well, most of us don't know that, you know, until you start looking within. And, you know, those, if you start asking, like, you know, what are my gifts? Mm. Because we all have them. And we're all created out of love, so we are all love in actual fact, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I said to him, just ask, what are my gifts that I can give back? Because you know, then we feel fulfilled instead of doing this merry-go-round of coming in here, doing time, going out, doing the same thing, getting back in. It's just a revolving door, right? Mm-hmm. There has to come a point where you go, oh my God, I am so sick of this, right?
Yeah.
I'm so sick of this. What, I mean, was I born for this? You know, what was I born for?
Yeah.
And When you start asking that, I think that's the beginning of it, really. Mm. That you actually want something different, right?
Yeah. Well, how many times have we heard, you know, in different rooms of, you know, addicts or alcoholics or, you know, different mental illnesses, people with serious problems anyway, who said, there just came a time when I didn't know what was anywhere, but I basically got down on my knees and said, if there's something, you know, will you please give me a hand, because I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it on my own. And that seems to be the saving grace, or whatever you want to call it, for so many people. And you know, I often tell them now, I said, you know, you don't have to describe these things or your sense of God or entity. I mean, just reach out, you know, look and be hungry, and you know, and I suppose it's prayerful talk in a way. I mean, but it doesn't seem like that to me. It's more like, you reach out. I mean, I don't care. Reach into the air, close your eyes, leave your eyes open, do what you want. But, you know, talk as though there's some power there. I mean, something put this all together. And, yeah, well, maybe there was a big bang, but, you know, what was before the bang, and so on and so forth. And, you know, why try and figure everything out? I mean, there's no scientist has been able to figure it out. And the ones that stay long enough at it come back to the thing and say, well, you know, obviously something put that together anyway, even if it is that. So you know, like, whatever it is, but reach for it, and reach for wisdom, you know. Reach for that sense, not knowledge so much as wisdom, you know. Something that comes to you from the inside, and go with it. Because if you're not seeking, you're not going to find too much, you know. And these poor guys, and some, you know, we're talking 10, 20, 30, 40 year guys in there, you know. And, you know, like, a change is so dramatic, and so much has to happen to make that change, that, you know, it's virtually, in terms of worldly statistics, almost impossible to do, you know. And yet we see some make it, and we go to those places for, you know, that small percentage that make it. And and if we didn't, you know, it would be even smaller, I think. So you got to reach out. You got to be hungry.
I think that asking is so important, because it's amazing. You really don't have to do anything else but ask. Because stuff will come into you. It's amazing. Stuff will come to you. The right person will come into your space. and you will get something from that, or a thought will come into your head. Mm-hmm. But the prerequisite is desire, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To of wanting it, and then once that starts to happen, I mean, it's amazing how everything unfolds, really. Mm-hmm. You know, you get seated next to the right person on an aeroplane. I mean, that's happened to me more than once, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like I've sat down waiting to go onto the plane, and I've sat next to a woman. Mm-hmm. And we've struck up a conversation, and then something in my head says, I bet you sit next to her on the plane. She got up and got in the plane before I did, because I usually wait till the end. Sure enough, my seat was exactly next to hers, right? Mm-hmm. And we were on a similar path. And that's the sort of thing that happens to you. Or you pick up something, mm-hmm. and whatever you need, that message is right there for you on the page.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of, if you desire it and want it, it will come to you without you actually having to do too much. Mm-hmm. You know, just having the desire is everything, really. Yeah.
So what do you think about coincidence versus part of the master plan, if you will? Because I hear that all the time, just a coincidence. I say, well, you know, you call it what you want, but I've sure had a lot of them, I'll tell you. But, you know, I believe it's part of the, you know, part of the overall scheme of things and, you know, whatever, however the Creator God put it together. You know, I only see clearly when I see a way that makes sense to my mind, and I'm sure everybody's sort of like that. You know, like I was trying to tell those guys last night, I said, well, you know, I believe everything, you know, as you said, Sue, everything happens for a purpose. And but when you got 10 guys in orange and big, a lot of them sitting around you, and you tell them everything's for a purpose, and they don't like the purpose that has them there in orange, even if, you know, if I tell them that's part of the plan. But most of them get it. I mean, there's probably two in there who are really skeptical of the whole 10 or 11 guys. And that's pretty good when you're talking major guys, major crimes. And I mean, every kind of crime, you know, as I told you, from the absolute extreme, you know, and then one guy down to somebody getting the next day, obviously something to do with drinking. But you know, there's that. There is that. I mean, there's everything from the, you know, the murderer to the fella who maybe had one too many and, you know, fell down in front of the bar. Who knows? But I mean, one getting out, and the next guy, you know, been in most of his life and will be in a whole bunch of other years probably, and he's able to say to that guy too. And this fascinates me. You know, he says, You know, God bless you, guy, and good luck to you. And I mean, here's the poor guy, you know, which I'm talking there, you know, is in there for who knows how long. I mean, he says he's going to beat it all, but I mean, he's got enough stuff there. And he was quick to say that, by the way, folks, I mean, no matter what, I mean, I'm doing some time for stuff I didn't get caught for, and so on and so forth. He says, because if I got caught for everything, I'd never be getting out anyway. So. But it is fascinating, yet he cares enough for the guy, showed that guy enough love to set him back on the road. And that guy, and you could tell by his speech last night, he was so moved by having spent, I don't know how many days or whatever, he was in this maximum security jail. But, you know, he spent time and he learned lessons that I think that guy'll take to heart. I doubt we'd ever see him in there again. And that's nice, you know. It's So here's the humility we talk about, and we're seeing it in the people who society would say are the worst. Yet you and I see more love and more humility and that kind of things, and the guys in orange or the women in green, depending where we are, than we see any time on the outside here. Isn't that true?
Yes, it's true. And the main thing is that a lot of them come back, you know, even if they don't really get it all or believe it all. Yep. If they come back to the meetings, I mean, and we don't know. How do I know that one little thing said, you know, went into that man's head and got stuck there at the back somewhere and isn't going to come forth at the right time? Because like we say in the program, everything's about timing, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So who knows? Beautiful. We don't know how it works, really. Yeah.
No, it's a good thing we don't.
Yeah, it's a good thing we don't. Yeah.
Humans tend to be a little boastful, you know. And even if you're not boastful purposefully, it's like when you got the gold medal, you don't forget you have the gold medal. Right. You know what I mean? So yeah. You attack at everything as a gold medalist as opposed to in humility. Mm. You know, I think that's kind of a... Anyway, with that bit of wisdom, that's about the best you're going to get out of me today, folks, I think. But we're going to take another break here, and we'll be back in a minute.